Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
About a month ago, or a little bit less, I was reading the Times of Israel, came across an incredible article and podcast. The person being interviewed was a young man called Ben M. Freeman. He is a Glaswegian at the moment in Hong Kong. He is a Jewish leader and author. And he's an interesting man. He's written a book called Jewish Pride, Rebuilding a People. And I have him on the line and delighted to be chatting to him. Ben Freeman, thank you for staying up to talk to us here on Chai FM in Johannesburg.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It's a delight.
I'm just smiling at that accent because it's not every day I speak to a Scot, and that's a really lovely, strong accent you have there. Ben, to a certain extent, events overtook us. I had planned over the past couple of days of where I wanted to go with you in our short time together this afternoon. But yesterday, Human Rights Watch came out with a damning report of finding that Israel is an apartheid state. That then led to a lot of discussion here on Chai FM. The question was asked, can you be leftist or have leftist leanings and still be a Zionist? And ironically, we had you planned to chat to you today. And who better to feel that question than you? Can you, Ben, be leftist or have leftist leanings or sympathies and remain a proud Jew and Zionist?
Of course, absolutely. I think that it is absolutely possible to be a progressive person, to hold progressive ideals and to be a Zionist. And actually, if we understand Zionism in its true concept, which is the movement of self-determination to return the Jewish people to their indigenous homeland, being the land of Israel, it is actually a progressive ideal. And what has happened because of the Soviet Union and other ideological movements, Zionism has been made into something evil. It has become representative of white supremacy, imperialism, colonialism, and it's just not true. So first of all, we have to redefine or reclaim the definition of Zionism, and then state absolutely it is totally possible to be a proud progressive and a proud Zionist. And I think that with regards to the HRW's report, we have to really look at why they're saying what they're saying, which methods they're using to justify their claims, and what is the wider context. And I, of course, have come out very strongly on Twitter against this, that I do not believe that Israel is an apartheid state, and I believe that the HRW has redefined the meaning of apartheid, and they've also erased the basic facts about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But that's not to say that this is a perfect situation. Of course it's not. It's not to say that Israel and the Palestinians are not caught in a long-running conflict, which needs to be solved. It needs a peaceful resolution. Absolutely. But that does not mean that Israel is an apartheid state.
Talk to me about your book, Jewish Pride, Rebuilding a People. What is your main thesis in the book?
My main thesis with Jewish Pride, Rebuilding a People, which is available on Amazon and Book Depository, is that Jewish people have been shamed for millennia by the non-Jewish world. We as a people, as a community, discuss our dead. We have days to commemorate the Shoah, the Holocaust, Yom HaZikaron. But what we don't do is understand the psychological impact that hate has on us. And we're not talking just about hate that exists currently. We're talking about the impact of hate that has existed for thousands of years of our history, all of our history, really. So my book attempts to educate, inspire, and empower Jews so that they're able to reject the shame of anti-Jewish racism, reject non-Jewish definitions of what it means to be a Jew, because not only are we shamed, but we're constantly caught in a situation where the non-Jewish world attempts to define our identity.
To a certain extent that Jews have actually internalized anti-Semitism?
Oh, absolutely. And this is not something specific to Jewish people. That is across many minority groups. It's well documented in the Black community. It's well documented in the LGBTQ plus community. So of course it exists in our community, and absolutely. And there's varying expressions of this. Not everyone expresses internalized anti-Jewish racism in the same way, but absolutely we're starting to see, or we're not starting to see that. We've seen it for thousands of years, actually. And really the last point is to give Jews the skills, the tools, the permission to define their identities as proud Jews, but through an authentic understanding of Jewish history, Jewish experience, and Jewish values.
Music to my ears, what you're saying, and yet I'm thinking you are swimming upstream. I'm thinking about all these youth, wherever they may be worldwide, in university campuses, the incredibly strong pressures of intersectionality, white privilege, anti-colonialism, anti-apartheid. I mean, everything in the kitchen sink, it seems to be Jewish and Zionist, you are against everything progressive and good in modern orthodoxy.
Well, absolutely, and that's the problem. And particularly with regards to students on campus, it's why Jewish pride is so incredibly important, because they're going off to university and they're experiencing a barrage of hate. They're experiencing institutional prejudice from the universities, from their peers, from the structures, from the staff. And it's absolutely vital that we empower them with Jewish pride. And we also have to recognise basic truths. Jewish pride is not going to stop anti-Jewish racism. These students are still going to go to university and they're still going to experience all of the above, everything you just referenced. But what Jewish pride can do is help them build a barrier so that they don't absorb it, so that they develop an inoculation against it. And they know actually that they've done nothing wrong, that they are proud Jews, they're allowed to be proud Jews. And what is happening, what is said about us, what is said about Israel actually has very little to do with our actions. It's about perceptions of Jewish people.
I find it really interesting because you're an out and proud gay man. You seem to have made parallels between the journey that you have traveled as a gay man to that you have traveled or that Jews could travel. Talk to that about the similar challenges, bearing in mind probably that the gay rights movement has probably been hell of a successful over the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah, it's been absolutely successful. And one of the reasons it's been successful is because of pride. And that is a journey that I absolutely went on, you know, maybe 10 years ago. I had to become not only comfortable with my sexual orientation, but proud of it. And that is something that's encouraged in the LGBTQ plus world. We have conversations about pride. And as I was watching the Jeremy Corbyn crisis unfold in Britain, I saw Jews suffering from what I call the hangover of the keep your head down policy, which was the unofficial policy in the Jewish world, which was just keep your head down. Don't say anything, just get on with it. And I saw that there were certain Jewish people not able to bring themselves to criticize Corbyn, to really say, actually, this guy is anti-Jewish. And that made me realize that we also need a pride movement, because pride is not just an LGBTQ plus thing. It applies to every community, every minority community that experiences these barrages of hate and shame and trauma need pride to help them not necessarily move on, but certainly move forward in a healthy and whole way. And that's all I want for the Jewish people. It's for us to be able to continue as a people, as Am Echad, one people. You know, you mentioned, you know, one nation, one station, Am Echad. But with pride and whole and healthy and having begun the journey of processing some of the incredible trauma that we've experienced.
I'm going completely off course here, but it just strikes me, and I'm taking advantage of your accent, and I'm going to be personal for a moment. Was lucky enough to have been in Edinburgh the year before last. And I got to tell you something, as beautiful as that city was and incredible as the festival was, I was very uncomfortable there as a left-leaning Jewish, proud Jewish Zionist. Every corner of that city was emblazoned with anti-Zionist slogans and flags one way or another. In South Africa, luckily, the experience is not nearly as in your face as that. The future of Jews in Europe, what's your take?
I mean, it's a never-ending question, right? But I really think the question needs to be expanded to the future of Jews in the diaspora, because while you're saying that South Africa may not be there, I think that what we're seeing is, particularly in America, that there are other countries, other areas outside of Europe that are catching up. And certainly Europe has its issues with Jewish people. We can't deny that. But I don't believe necessarily that that Europe is the boogeyman. I think that America has enormous issues that people in America are just starting to waking up to. And I believe we're seeing it in Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, South America. So I guess the question is really, is there a Jewish future in the diaspora? And I hope there is. I really hope there is. You know, I am a proud Zionist, as you are, but I've not made Aliyah. I live in Hong Kong, and it's not necessarily for everyone, even though I obviously support the concept of a Jewish state, and my family live in Israel. So I really hope there is a Jewish future in the diaspora, but I think it's going to require a lot of work and a lot of hard work by the non-Jewish world to really recognize how deeply embedded anti-Jewish racism is.
It's one hell of a week we've had, Ben. I mean, if we look at the Sarah Halimi judgment, the first world, this isn't happening in some third world tin pot cracked up dictatorship. This is happening in the first world in Europe. Judgment like that is concerning.
Very much so. And you know what, like we have to do with other forms of prejudice, we have to kind of zoom out and see actually this is Sarah Halimi's murder is not an isolated instance. There have been multiple cases of Jewish people being murdered in France in recent years. Of course, there was Ilan Halimi, who is not related to Sarah. There was Marianne Noel, a Holocaust survivor. And there are common denominators. A, each of all of these victims were Jewish, but B, what we're seeing is that the police are so hesitant to label these crimes as hate crimes. And we saw that with Sarah Halimi. They were just refusing initially to recognise that this was an anti-Jewish hate crime. And then the judgment itself is so shocking and appalling that what they're really saying is that Jewish lives don't matter.
100%. That's exactly what they are saying. Ben, under normal circumstances, I would have stopped this interview about 5 minutes ago. I would have played a song. There was no ways that I was going to do that with you on the line. Thank you so much for agreeing to chat to me here on Chai FM this afternoon. I hope that's the first of a few. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the line.
Thank you so much for having me. Absolutely. I'd love to be back.